Student loan forgiveness is much in the news these days. It's on, it's off, it's on again, maybe. What's the lesson here? Hi, I'm Rob West. The lesson is this. It's much easier to avoid student loan debt than to get out of it. It just takes discipline. I'll talk about that with Art Rayner today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We always look forward to having Art Rayner back on the program with us. Art is the director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health, the organization that certifies Christian financial counselors. Art, great to have you back with us.
Rob, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
So, Art, we promise to provide biblical wisdom for listeners' financial decisions. Going to college is, of course, a huge financial decision. So where would you take us in Scripture as we think about preparing for college?
I think Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender. That should guide your decision process because it's so easy to borrow and run up tens of thousands of dollars in debt that will take you decades to pay back.
Yeah, that is so true. And we hear from listeners all the time dealing with just that. Now, in your book, Art, you list four ways to minimize debt. And if you're really good at them, they could even enable you to graduate debt-free. So why don't you share those with us?
Yeah, number one is this, start saving now. The second, make sure that you are taking college-level AP courses or dual enrollment courses that are available. The third is to explore scholarships and grants. And then finally, be willing to work while you're in school.
Yeah, those are really helpful. We're not saying that doing those things will be easy, only that they're easier than paying back $30,000 or $40,000 in student loan debt. But you have another list, Art, that can make this whole process a lot easier, I think. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a list of misconceptions that could cost you a fortune in student debt, but knowing them will enable you to avoid them. And the first one is this. Attending a costly school will get you a better job. So higher tuition does not always equate to higher salaries. Employers don't look at the amount you paid to get a college degree. They just look at your degree.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And avoiding that one could save you a ton of money. What's another misconception?
The second misconception is that you need the whole college experience, right? Choosing to work to help offset tuition costs can help ensure that you won't still be paying on student loans 10 to 15 years after your graduation.
Yeah.
And the third misconception is this, that it's okay to stretch out college. Now, certainly there's some leniency here, but be careful when choosing to stretch your degree program. You may end up paying more, and you also run a greater risk of not completing your degree. And don't take throwaway classes. Make your investment worth it.
Yeah, that's great advice, whether you borrow or not. All right, the fourth misconception?
It's that you don't need to know what you're signing. Educate yourself on student loans. Before you sign any papers, understand the commitment involved, what it'll take to pay off the loan, and what alternatives are available. And the number five misconception is this, that everything will take care of itself. Student loans are stubborn things. They even survive bankruptcy. So I'm less concerned with students who feel burdened by their loans than the ones who feel no burden from their debt. Unless you manage to get through the obstacle course of debt forgiveness programs, and that's not easy, your loans will have to be repaid no matter what.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then our time for one more, perhaps incorrect line of thinking in this whole area.
Yeah, it's that there's no other option. Without question, the cost of higher education is a very difficult challenge for many current and future college students. But this doesn't mean that there aren't other options. Diligently pursuing scholarships and grants can be incredibly helpful. College costs are sky high, much more than your parents experienced when they were in school. So be sure to look at those other options.
Yeah, boy, I've been down this road, Art, and I couldn't agree more with everything you're saying. My wife, they turned their living room into a scholarship factory. She got over $100,000 in scholarships. And our oldest took 15 AP classes in high school, so he was able to enter college halfway through his sophomore year. So this stuff works. You just got to put your mind to it. Art, thanks for being with us today.
Rob, thanks for having me.
All right, that's Art Rayner with the Institute for Christian Financial Health, where they train certified Christian financial counselors. You can find out more at ChristianFinancialHealth.com. Your calls are next at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Not long ago, I was in a self-checkout line, and across the way, I watched someone scan a pack of gum, check out, and then slyly drop another item in the bag. She was out the door in seconds. Even if no one sees, the Lord always does. He doesn't miss a thing, and whether it's big or small, He calls us to account. And that holds true whether you're acquiring millions illegally through a scam, cheating on your taxes, or pocketing a pack of gum. Stealing is stealing. But we're called to something greater, and we can trust that, as Philippians 4:19 says, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Just visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. You've got questions, we've got some answers, because we look to God's Word to pull out the principles, the big ideas, and allow those to inform, through a biblical worldview, the advice we give as we tackle those very specific and practical questions you have in your financial life, whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing God's money. Let's talk about it today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Jerry Boyer also coming up today. In our final segment, we'll get Jerry's take on the markets. Obviously, a lot of discussion going on related to the presidential election about economic policy. We'll get Jerry to weigh in on that and see what else is on Jerry's mind today. We always look forward to his visit, and that's coming up a little later in our broadcast. We do have room for you at 800-525-7000. That is the number to call. Before we dive into those calls today in the news today, lawmakers on Capitol Hill are debating the fate of the Trump tax cuts, many of which will expire at the end of 2025. Those tax cuts were a part of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, but only some of them were made permanent. Expiring next year will be the lower federal tax brackets. That's a big deal. The bigger standard deductions. Keep in mind, 90% of taxpayers take the standard deduction. That's because it went up dramatically under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act from President Trump. What will also expire next year is a larger child tax credit and greater gift and estate tax exemptions. You know, we talk a lot about those that $13.5 million threshold that you have to cross before you have any gift tax or estate tax issues. That would come down dramatically. Analysts say small businesses will be hit especially hard if the tax cuts are not extended. One of them is a 20% tax break for so-called pass-through businesses. So we're talking about sole proprietorships, partnerships, limited liability companies, and S-corps. By one estimate, up to 300,000 small and independent businesses will be affected if Congress doesn't act to extend the tax cuts. Meanwhile, the Tax Foundation estimates that more than 60% of all tax filers will be paying more to the IRS if this happens. A huge stumbling block to Congress reaching an agreement on the issue is the ever-rising national debt, now standing at over $35 trillion. We're about 125% of gross domestic product now. We could probably handle up to 200%, so we probably got 20 years at the most to deal with this, hopefully a lot sooner. I know one of the things being discussed, at least by President Trump, if he were to win the election, is a pretty significant look at cutting back and curbing government spending. That obviously is key to being able to right-size the budget deficit, and get this going in the right direction. All of that, of course, in play and being hotly debated as we head ever so quickly toward November the 5th. But the top of mind is going to be what happens with taxes beyond 2025. We'll, of course, keep you posted here as new information comes out. All right, let's dive into your questions today. Again, that phone number with lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Claire. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I would like to know if there is a way to leave a house to my son at my death without without it going through probate court. I have my bank account POD. Is there something similar to POD for a house?
There is, but not in every state. The good news is there in Alabama, Claire, you do have what's called a TOD, which is very similar to the payable on death that you have. A TOD deed is what allows, and that stands for transfer on death. It allows your property to go directly to your heir or heirs without going through probate. And so you would want to talk to a real estate attorney or your estate planning attorney, whoever did your will or whatever other legal documents you have related to estate planning, about getting a TOD deed and then retitling the property in the name of the TOD deed with your county.
Well, does that mean that my son has control over the property some way?
No, you're still the sole owner. It's a transfer on death. And so that doesn't trigger until the death of the owner of the property, which is you. So you would essentially, this allows you to do the same thing you do in your will, transfer the property to an heir or heirs after death. It's just that with the TOD deed, it bypasses the probate. And so it goes directly to your heir or heirs because of the TOD deed. The benefit is you get the efficiency of that transfer outside of probate, but your heir, your son in this case, still gets what's called the step up in basis, which means he's not paying capital gains based on your original purchase price. The new cost basis for the property is the market value as of the date of death, which means if he turns around and sells it right away, assuming he doesn't want to hang on to it, there is no capital gain because he'd essentially sell it for what the market value is as of the date of death, and that's a benefit to him.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call, Claire. Call anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. By the way, before we head back to the phones, just a quick reminder, we were thrilled yesterday to announce that we launched our brand new resource here at FaithFi. It's a 21-day devotion on financial fear called Look at the Sparrows. It's beautifully designed. It'll each day take you into Scripture, allow you to read a different passage related to this topic of fear and anxiety related to money. Read through the devotion for the day. It's a quick read. I think it'll be thoughtful and encouraging for you. Again, all based on God's Word, and then take you into an opportunity to reflect on that, an exercise you can do, a prayer you can pray, something for you to ponder and commit to. And then most days have a scripture memorization portion as well. I think it'd be a wonderful way, if you have some anxiety, just given all that's going on right now, the uncertainty and so much of the fear that's prevalent, we want to replace that with faith and trust in God as our provider, refocus not on the temporal, your present circumstances, but that which is eternal. And we do that by going back to God's Word and renewing our mind. So Look at the Sparrows might be just what you're looking for you or a friend or even a small group. Check it out today, faithfi.com/sparrows. That's faithfi.com/sparrows. All right, let's head back to the phone. South Carolina is where we're headed next. Hi, Wendy. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, brothers, for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
So my husband and I, we're 55 years old. We've been debt-free for 10 years with Dave Ramsey people.
Okay.
But we set up our will so that all of our stuff is left to our kids. They're 16 and 18. That they'll get it when they're 21. And I know that Dave Ramsey would smack my hand and say, don't leave them everything. It's a bad plan.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of retirement. We have about $70,000 in retirement. So we're pretty much going to work till we die. So we want to figure out, like, We sponsor Compassion Kids through the Compassion Church. We sponsor 6 kids. We want to make sure that they're okay. But we want to make sure that our retirement, which we set up very, very long time ago before we were saved, we don't know if they're Christian-based companies. We get a 65-page booklet every month, and I get through the first page, and I literally just tap out. So
yeah.
I want to make sure that our investments for our retirement are Christian-based.
Okay.
And that, what is a better way to make it sure? So the retirement will, well, my husband's life insurance is like,
let's do this. Unfortunately, I hate to cut you off, Winnie. I've got to hit a hard break here. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those 3 keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of Faith Fi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before the break, we were talking to Wendy in South Carolina. Wendy and her husband are debt-free. They have a small investment portfolio. They're wanting to be wise stewards. They plan to continue to work as long as they're able. They've got their will set up to pass all of their assets to their boys at the age of 21, once they reach that age, currently 16 and 18. She's wanting to make sure that their investments are aligned with their values. They're giving generously to causes that are important to them. But Wendy, let me let you pick it back up there. Other than just making sure you're aligned in your investments with your values, what other issues are you trying to solve for today?
Sure. So I know that, you know, you're not supposed to leave a huge chunk of money to your kids, because typically if they blow it within, you know, it can be bad. And so between my husband's life insurance and my life insurance and the house, it's close to $1 million. And I know that the last thing you want to do is give two 21-year-olds $500,000 and tell them good luck to you. Yeah. And so we want to find out what a reasonable amount of money to leave them, so it helps them, you know, move forward, but yet they still have to have a purpose and a work. But then what do you do with the rest of the money? We sponsor 6 Compassion Kids who are, you know, in different areas of the world. We want to make sure that they're set up in the will. Currently they are, but what do you do with the rest of the money? Like, yeah. if say $125,000 is a good amount of money to give to the children, then what do you do with the remaining $650?
Yeah, it's a great question. All right, let's tackle these in reverse order. So we'll start there. I'm going to send you a book called Splitting Heirs from Ron Blue. It'll be our gift to you. I think this is the best book on dealing with this topic, not the mechanics of estate planning, the wills and the trusts and the legal documents, but all the questions that inform your wealth transfer plan that ultimately become reflected in the legal documents. And that's what you're talking about here. You know, keep in mind, there's only 3 places you can leave what God has entrusted to you. You can give it to the government. We don't want to do that. You can give it away to charity ministries on your heart that I would say align with the heart of God. We see in that in Scripture, and to heirs. And so really it comes down to how much do we want to leave to the kingdom and how much do we want to leave to our heirs? And whenever we're thinking about this, the kind of the operative question we're answering is the next steward, because that's what we're doing. We're entrusting what has been entrusted to you. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God, but you're the steward, and you're going to determine who is the next steward, and that's either going to be a ministry. You've mentioned Compassion. It could be American Family Association. It could be your church. Could be all three, your kids. And, you know, we always want to think about, is that next steward not only chosen but prepared? And I think that's what you're getting to. Now, I don't have any issue with you leaving the money to the kids, but I think it does involve prayer and discernment, because here's the thing. The what's most important, you know, oftentimes when we think about this, we go back to this passage in Scripture that says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, if you look at that verse in its fuller context of what it was talking about, right there in Scripture, you will see that it was really referring to an inheritance of righteousness more so than even a financial inheritance. And that the idea that we want to pass wisdom before wealth is really the big idea. because as Ecclesiastes tells us, wisdom and wealth are both good, but only one of them protects, and it's wisdom. It's not wealth. And the money is going to be the fuel of sorts, along with their values, to propel their life in whatever direction they're already heading, and perhaps even accelerate it. And so what you have to use great discernment and prayer to evaluate is, where are these boys at with regard to their spiritual and financial maturity? We need to be intentional about passing the values, including even you and your husband's desire to be generous givers with what God has entrusted to you. So maybe that means starting to get them involved in some of the giving now, and or at least talking to them about that. You know, maybe a portion of this beyond what you decide or discern goes directly to them by way of inheritance. Maybe a portion of this, you said roughly $1 million, goes into a donor advised fund that the boys then are charged with giving it away. And that's another way to just, you know, allow them to be brought into this idea of giving. Now, some of it you may just decide, no, we know exactly where we want it to go at death and it's going to go there. But another way that's kind of riding in the middle is, again, for it to go into a fund that they have to then give away. And then there's a portion they get directly. So there's not a right or wrong answer here other than to say, what do we expect will happen with the money? And what's the worst thing that can happen with the money? And really think about, where are they at? And this is going to change over time. I mean, they're 16 and 18. So, you know, we're still kind of seeing, you know, how the Lord is working in their life and what is their relationship with Him and what kind of decisions are they making. And so I think as you and your husband wrestle through this, just ask the Lord to give you some wisdom on what is the right amount. But don't feel obligated to give them all of it. And I would say, don't feel obligated to give them nothing. I think, you know, this is an opportunity for you to say, Lord, we want to bless them, but we also want to set them up for success. We want them to continue to depend on you, and we want to use discernment as to where are they headed with their life trajectory, and we want to recognize that the money could accelerate that, and are we okay with that? And, you know, I think that's part of what you need to think and pray through. Does that all make sense?
And I appreciate that guidance. Honestly, we've just been sitting here going, you know, how do we make the right decision? I've been listening to this radio program for a long time. I support American Family Radio.
Good.
And
yeah.
I've been trying to get on this call. So I'm so grateful to be able to talk to you and have that guidance. It really does mean a lot to me.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm delighted to do it because this is really important. And I think, you know, what you all can do right now to really be intentional to transfer those values, because here's the thing, you know, we pass three kinds of capital, and they fall in order of importance. Spiritual capital first. You know, you transferring your understanding of the gospel and the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and then character capital. What are those character traits that you all really value and prioritize? And what do you need to transfer there about working hard and living simply and giving generously? And then ultimately, it's the financial capital is last. Stay on the line. I'm going to send you this book. I'll make some comments on faith-based investing after the break, plus more questions. Stick around.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This weekend on The Stan Radio, we'll visit with M.D. Perkins, director of the New American Family Studios documentary, Culture Warrior.
Now we are seeing the fruits of things that Don was warning about 30 or 40 years ago. And now you actually have the evidence of what has this actually done to society. So in a way that Don was prophesying that this would happen, now we can look back and historically see that did happen.
The Stan Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Got a lot of calls to get to, plus Jerry Boyer coming up in just a few moments. Let's head right back to the phones. We're going to go to Ohio and welcome Lee to the broadcast. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Really enjoy your show. Been listening ever since Larry Burkett was the host in the day.
Amazing.
My question is, I have about $80,000 invested in CDs with Marcus Goldman Sachs. Because I'm single, I decided to put my sister in as a joint owner in case I should pass away. My sister and her husband are concerned that if I were to get sued for some reason, such as an auto accident or whatever, that not only could they get the money from my invested CDs, but they could also go over after my sister's investments because her name is listed as a co-owner of my investments. I've looked into taking her off as co-owner and putting her as a beneficiary like she is on my other investments, but the only way to do that is to close the CDs and then reopen them. And if I do that before they mature next March, I will lose a lot of the interest, which would be about $2,000.
Yeah.
So do we need to be concerned that she can be liable if someone came after my portfolio?
Yeah. I mean, is there anything kind of pending here legally? Is this all just hypothetical and being well planned?
It's all hypothetical.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's something to consider. I'm not an attorney. And so I would always, for legal matters, just in terms of whether somebody could attach holdings and, you know, what your exposure is, I would always direct you back to an attorney. I think if it were me, Lee, I'd probably let this ride just given that, you know, the chance that something's going to happen is very small and not give up those couple of $1,000. And then maybe the next go around, whether it's another CD or some other type of investment, you just transition it to ownership in your name only with her being the beneficiary. Because anything else would involve retitling it. I mean, you could put an LLC in place that could, you know, hold the assets and, you know, try to protect from creditors, something like that. I just don't think it's worth the hassle here on something like this. But again, if you, you know, I don't want to minimize your desire to make sure everybody's protected, and none of us know what could happen at any point. So I'm not saying, you know, we should just throw caution to the wind. But I would say if you are, you know, really concerned about it and it would create a real, you know, problem if something were to happen for either of you, then you could talk to an attorney about it. I think for me, I would say this is a very low risk. We're accepting some level of risk, knowing that, yes, there is a scenario where this could happen and it could be attached. But we realize it's pretty small. And so we're going to let this ride out to the end of the, you know, the period. And then next time around, we're going to solve for it differently.
Okay, that sounds like good advice.
All right. I appreciate it, Lee. It's a good question, and so I don't minimize that at all. What they're saying has merit. I think it's just a matter of, you know, if there's a cost-benefit analysis we have to do here, and is it worth giving up $2,000 or $3,000 for the very remote chance that with nothing on the horizon, there's just out of left field a lawsuit that gets all the way to the point of attaching shared assets and taking claim to it is very small. So maybe the other thing you could do would be to get an umbrella policy for, you know, a small amount of money for, you know, $2-3 million that, you know, could be another way to offset risk. So before any assets are attached beyond the limits of existing policies like homeowners and automobile, you know, any kind of lawsuit could, you know, be covered through that umbrella policy. They're fairly inexpensive to get, you know, so for you to add a couple of $1 million umbrella policy until the end of the period, I don't think is a bad idea for you to have anyway. And that's probably something you want to hang on to. So that would be another way to go about this, to say, listen, I put another layer of protection in here to cover any kind of suit that goes beyond the limits of my existing policies. And so, you know, that's something that is going to be helpful to me regardless of the situation, but would also kind of shield you as well, because hopefully, you know, we would exhaust those assets or the coverage of that umbrella policy before we would get anywhere close to other assets that you hold. Hopefully that's helpful, Lee. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Let's go up to Arizona. Hi, Martha. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rob. I have a question regarding the giving my kids a gift, you know, of the $18,000. I'm a little confused. I rolled over. I had a TSP rolled over into an IRA, and I have about $470K in there. Plus, I have an income bucket of $90,000+ in there. What I got from listening to your station was that that I could gift $18,000 without being taxed. But what I'm told is that no, that I will be taxed if I get that out of the IRA.
You are correct. In that, yeah, I'd be happy to clarify that. It's a good question. So where there's no taxes, there's no gift tax on $18,000. In fact, $18,000 is the annual gift tax exclusion, meaning you can give up to $18,000 to as many people as you would like without having to pay any taxes on the gift. However, that's assuming the money has already been taxed, and the money in your IRA that came from your TSP is pre-tax money. So before you can give it away, you would have to take a distribution of whatever amount you were giving, and that would be added to your taxable income because that's money that has not been taxed ever. It's just that once you pay the income tax on it, the federal tax and state tax, by taking it out of the IRA, then you would not have an additional gift tax when you give it away up to $18,000 for the year. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm still not clear, I guess.
Okay.
Again, so that I'm 72 years old and I won't be getting the distribution until next year when I'm 73. Now, so you're saying that now I have to pay, like my kids can use the $18,000, you know, each of them. I have three of them. I still have to pay taxes on the $18,000 now.
Yeah, so let's back up before we get to the gift, okay? So the money today is in a pre-tax environment, regardless of what you do with it, whether you take it and spend it, you go on a trip, or you give it to your kids. Today, it's in an IRA, correct?
Right.
Okay, so whatever amount you take out of that IRA, which is pre-tax money, in the IRA, whatever amount you take out, regardless of what you're going to do with it after you take it out, is going to be added to your taxable income for the year. No matter whether you're going to give it away or spend it, it's going to be taxable as you take it out. Now, if you then turn around and give it after you've paid the federal tax on it because you took it out of the IRA, if you turn around and give it away, there is no tax for you or the recipient for the gift. But you do have to pay the tax on it if it's coming out of an IRA before you give it away.
Okay, I got it now. Okay, all righty. I appreciate
it. The only way, let me just add one other thing because I think this is important. The only way to get money out of an IRA without paying tax on it is through something called a qualified charitable distribution. And that's where it goes directly from your IRA to a not-for-profit ministry or charity. Any other withdrawal from an IRA other than going straight to ministry or charity is going to be taxable regardless of what you do with it from that point forward, whether you give it away, you go on a trip, or you buy a big screen TV. So pay the tax as it comes out and then give it away. We'll be right back with Jerry Boyer. Stay with us.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR. Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Thrilled to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, here in our final segment on a Friday, Jerry Boyer stops by. He's our resident economist. He's a writer in the opinion section for World News Group and a frequent participant in corporate engagement, working on behalf of a lot of ministries and investors, including American Family Association, engaging with the biggest corporations in the world around values, faith values in particular. Jerry, great to have you.
Always great to be with you.
Jerry, you know, the market is acting fairly predictable in our upside down world. So given everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks, I think we're seeing the market perform as we would have expected. Why don't you unpack those events and what we saw?
Yeah, so as you say, it's an upside down world. Throughout most of American history, when the economy was doing well, the market would do well. When the economy is doing poorly, the market would do poorly. But something happened around the time of the Great Recession, where the central bank, the Fed, became so large, it owned so much of the investment paper, bonds, treasury bonds in particular, that it essentially became the largest investor in the world. So now, markets move based on what they think the Fed is going to do, not what they think the fundamentals are for the economy or for business. And so this week we have an up week for markets. Why do we have an up week for markets? Well, because inflation was down, you know, kind of lower than people expected, more getting kind of more towards the Fed's target. which means that the Fed can, it has permission to basically do what it already wants to do to try to avoid a recession. It wants to cut interest rates next week, which cut interest rates is just a way of saying it's going to create money and inject it into the economy. Now, the Fed doesn't inject the money right into my bank account or yours. It doesn't go and spend it at Costco. The Fed actually puts that money into financial markets. So that's why financial markets move based on what the Fed's going to do. So right now, there's the markets are pricing in a 100% probability that next week the Fed is going to announce new money creation, pumping that money into the system. And that went to 100% when the inflation number was revealed this week, which said inflation is fairly tame. Now, I don't really think we've beaten inflation. I think when the economy slows down, people don't buy as much because they're afraid. Yeah. That's not really beating inflation, because the moment we feel more confident, we just go out and we buy, and then we go back up to the actual market price. But it's at least given created the illusion that we've beaten inflation, and that kind of gives the Fed permission. The Fed wants to have permission to do it. They don't like to take away the punch bowl at a party. They don't want to be the party pooper. They want easy money. It sends markets up. People feel better. It's a way of trying to avoid a recession. So they want to be nice. I don't think it's actually nice to debase the currency, but they want to be nice. They want to make people feel better. They want to pump money into the system, and this low inflation number tells them that they can do it. So markets are up, as I said. But what I like to look at is, if the stock market goes up, why? Well, I want to know what else moved. So when the stock market goes up, but gold prices also go up, and the dollar goes down, that tells me that it's an easy money bull market, not an actual prosperity bull market.
Yeah. Jerry, how much of the last 20 years worth of bull markets have been an easy money bull market?
Well, the tops are always easy money. We have these tops that, we have these bubbles, that we had. One of them popped, obviously, in 2008, 2009. We had easy money in the late 90s. But I would say that this one is really unusual, one that we've basically had since the Great Recession. I mean, it was broken with COVID, but it came back in that we had interest rates that were the lowest in American history. I mean, the Fed, in the past, the Fed might grow the money supply by 2 or 3 or 4 or 5% a year, but we were doubling and tripling the money supply. I mean, the printing press tech, it's not really a printing press, it's just electronics now. It was running all night, basically. So a lot of the super performance that we've seen of the highly speculative growth stocks, things like AI, which is promising, but probably not promising enough to justify some of those unbelievable valuations, say, with something like NVIDIA, which then did pop, that really is largely easy money. And how do I know? Because gold's coming up on $2,600 an ounce. Historically, I mean, when we were in the gold standard, it was $20 an ounce. So we've had a lot of easy money, and the run-up in gold has coincided with the run-up in the stock market. And that's not prosperity. That's just expansion of valuation. That's just kind of like the bubbles that we saw in the late 90s.
Jerry, the other thing moving markets is, of course, the presidential election. We saw the markets moving overnight following the debate. What did that tell us?
Yeah, well, a couple things happened. The night of the debate around 9 o'clock, the stock market started to sell off in what's called after hours trading. So in New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ weren't open, but the stocks do trade after hours. And it's kind of a futures thing. And they started to sell off because I think that investors concluded that she won the debate. And that she was more likely to become president. The other thing we saw is that DJT, Donald J. Trump, that's his media company, which trades on the stock market, also sold off after that debate, and also sold off after Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala. Yeah. I don't want to get too political, but this seems like really late stage in your nation when pop stars can move markets and presidential futures markets. And, some people have joked, well, aren't all her songs about choosing the wrong person? I don't know. I haven't listened to any of her songs, but apparently they are. So she endorsed Kamala, and Donald J. Trump, DJT, that's the stock that is his company that sold off. But the biggest effect on markets this week was the Fed not the president. And that's interesting because she pulled firmly ahead in the futures market. Basically, the consensus now is that she's going to win the election. So how, and in my opinion, she is not good. She is not as good for long-term prosperity as Trump would be. I'm not saying vote for him. Not saying vote for her. That's not my job. But what I am, as an economist, I'm saying his economic plan is better for long-term prosperity than her economic plan. So why are markets up? Because the Fed's more powerful than the president, basically. Mm-hmm. What the Fed is going to do moves markets more than who the next president is going to be. And I don't like that because at least we get to elect presidents. I don't always like the choices we make, but we get to elect presidents. We don't get to elect the Fed. So that's an institution that clearly has too much power.
Yeah. Jerry, obviously, we're continuing to see economic policy leak out. I mean, he was in a press conference yesterday talking about no taxes on overtime pay. He doubled down on tariffs during the debate. We've heard more pieces of her economic policy, even though we're light on details. Anything you can conclude from any of that conversation?
Well, that neither of them are extremely good. They're not equally bad. But tariffs are historically associated with corrupt government. Tariffs are historic, and people say, well, but I want to side with America against, you know, the other countries. Well, sure, president should side. The president of America should be on the side of America. But what it misses is that tariffs are usually, well, what do you tariff? You have to decide which things you're going to tariff. Which industries are you going to protect? So you're always choosing one American industry over another. So when we did our last trade war under President Trump, we tariffed some manufacturing imports from China. So what really happened? Well, what really happened is China sent them to Vietnam, and then Vietnam sold them to us, right? So they just added a step in the process. So we tariff something coming out of China, and it just, well, that seems all of a sudden, our trade with Vietnam is increasing, and our trade with Cambodia is increasing, and our trade with Thailand is increasing. They just put an extra step. It's kind of easy to get around that. But what did China do? They said, oh, you're going to tariff our exports to you, well, then we're going to tariff your exports to us. So meaning pork. They were importing a lot of pork. Well, so basically we sided with American manufacturing workers over American pig farmers. See, there's no, whenever you get into a trade war, you're always deciding which particular industry you're going to protect and which other industry you're willing to be collateral damage, because those other countries, they trade war back. You know, when we tariff their exports to us, then we punish them, they punish us. So I just don't think it's good policy. I'm very pro-America. I don't think we need protective tariffs. I think we need good policy. I mean, we became the economic superpower of the world. We were half the global economy, after World War II, and we didn't have protective tariffs. We had a free trade regime. Why were we half the global economy? Because we were half the productivity of the global economy, because taxes were going down, and because we had less regulation, we had sound money. That's how we win. We don't need tariffs in order to win. We just need the government. We don't need our government to protect us. We need to just have our government stop hurting us.
Yeah. Fascinating, Jerry. Let's pivot for a moment and finish today with the work you're doing in corporate engagement, specifically alongside and as you work to represent American Family Association. Give us an update.
Well, AFA has proposed a resolution for the ballot for Apple. Apple is sometimes the largest company in the world, sometimes NVIDIA is, sometimes Microsoft. So it is arguably one of the largest companies in the world. Apple has an app store. Apple had a plan to roll out some technology that is good at detecting explicit material so that we could protect minors from it and decrease sex trafficking. That seemed like a good idea. Apple decided not to roll that out. They said that it was privacy considerations, and hey, privacy is a real thing. But we also noticed that Apple tend to give in to China on some of these privacy issues. But here in the United States, all of us, they're really hawkish on privacy. So, AFA would like some explanations. AFA is not saying they were wrong. They're saying, we want you to explain how you made this decision, because protecting children is extremely morally important. And also, by the way, it's business important, because any business that becomes a marketplace for sex trafficking is a business that is taking huge legal risk as well.
Yes.
So there's a moral and a fiduciary case to be made here. By the way, Apple responded almost immediately asking for a meeting, which was very unusual. Then we found out why. A couple days later, an article came out in the Wall Street Journal talking about how Apple had fought against legislation in Louisiana and some other states to protect minors.
Hey, that's great. Listen, we got to leave it there. Great update, Jerry. Always appreciate you, my friend. Folks, thanks for being with us today. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.